We're doing Rav Elchanan Wasserman. We're on page Chaf Aleph, Mahmar al Teshuvah. This is an essay about Teshuvah. Rav Elchanan Wasserman is about to tackle one of the more complex concepts, even though he doesn't define it head on. It is the concept of where does humanity actually fall into the observance of halacha. We are sometimes challenged. Am I supposed to be kind because the Torah says so? Or am I supposed to be kind because I have compassion? Because if I let my compassion get away with it, so then I can become a person that has all kinds of ethics, ideals, morals, values that don't necessarily run in line with the Torah. And if I observe the Torah and I don't work with any heart, I don't have any feeling, I don't care if the guy drops dead, but the Torah says I should give him charity. So here, have a hot dog, right? But I don't care. That's not the type of human being the Torah wants us to be. So there's a balance here. That's not the topic Rav Elchanan Wasserman is going to discuss. But if we listen closely to what he's going to say, we will find an answer to that question as well. He is tackling a different topic, but let's pay attention. This is one of the more complex essays, but you guys said you're focused tonight, so let's be focused. Yes, sir. Correct.
Wasn't he in the United States trying to build support for European Jewry to help Europe, and then he went back?
Correct. Let's continue. It says in Mesilat Yesharim, Katav Mesilat Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato wrote in the fourth chapter of Mesilat Yesharim, Ki lefi shurat hadin mamash ya ra'uy shlo yeh tikun lachet klal. Technically, if we would analyze things with strict logic, then once a person transgresses, there should be no way to rectify it. If you think about it logically, what you did is done. So there should be no room for tshuva if we would analyze things with strict logic. Ki ne be'emet, because in truth, ech yitaken adam et asher ivet. How could man really fix what he has destroyed? V'achet kvar na'asa, and the transgression is already done. Let's say a person murdered. Let's say a person committed adultery. God forbid. How can he fix such a thing? Can you change what was done? The act was done. So Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato says, but Hashem does not deal only with exacting justice. Hashem also has the trait of compassion, of mercy. And so, because Hashem deals with rachamim, with mercy, He gives us the capacity to do tshuva, to change. Shatshuva tinaten lachotim b'chesed gamur. Hashem gives the capacity to do tshuva, even though people have transgressed. This is a tremendous, complete kindness that Hashem does on our behalf. Shetechashev akirat haratzon kakirat hamaaseh. Because what's really happening when we do tshuva? And it's so difficult if you think of it this way. You're changing your will. You're saying, I wish it never happened. Can you really change your will? Yeah, you can, but that requires real work. So when we change our will, Hashem makes it as though we've changed the action. But here you see, in that one sentence, Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato gave such a genius definition for tshuva, changing the will. We like to think of tshuva as changing the action. I will no longer do that. But no. Tshuva is about changing my will. I regret it. I don't want to do that anymore. But yes, I do. So I didn't do tshuva yet. I've done a step in tshuva. I've at least mitigated the harm because I don't do the action anymore. But I want to. So long as I want to, so I haven't changed my will. I have not really done tshuva. But this is all from Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato. Umevo'ar mitvarav. What we understand from his words, shemitzad adin charatai now kertit amase, that actually, logically, our regret, our remorse, does not uproot our action, ela lifni mishuat adin. But it is Hashem going beyond the call of duty, giving us the capacity through tshuva to uproot a previous action. Vekashe tuva. And that's very difficult, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Ma'adita sofer kam de kiddushin. The Talmud tells us, in the end of the first chapter of Tractate Kiddushin, the Talmud says, "Afilu tzadik amur kol yamav." Even if a person was completely pious his whole life, umarad ba'achona, and then at the end of his life, he rebels. He goes against it all. Ibed etzchuyotav. He loses all the merits he built up his whole life. Shenemal's the verse says, Tzitzkat tzadik lo tzilenu biyom pisho. A man's righteousness won't save him when he rebels against it. Uparach b'gemara. So the Gemara asks, V'nevi kemechtzel suyot mechtzel avonot. Why, the Gemara says, why don't you just consider it as half-half? He had the merits, and then he has the transgression. Why isn't it viewed as half-half? So the Gemara answers, Amar Reish Lakish b'toel harishonot. Reish Lakish says, yeah, when a person looks back and regrets his life of piety, so then it's as though he uproots it. Pirush Rashi, Rashi explains, mitcharet al hatovot shel asa. When a person regrets the good that he's done, so then in heaven it's considered as though he uprooted all the good that he's done. Umevad chartau keot mitzvot. So then wait a second. By regretting that a person did a mitzvah, he can uproot the action, right? Valken mitzad adinu. So then that seems to be logical, right? If I regret what I did good, so then it says, oh, I didn't do good. Yeah? So then why doesn't it work the other way? Why do we say that I need extra mercy in order to have my regret undo my transgressions? If my regret can undo my mitzvahs, shouldn't it logically also undo my transgressions? Now, this is a scary concept, by the way, because sometimes we do mitzvah, and there's a great cost. You tell your friend, I'm going to help you move apartments. And then you come, and it's a rainy day, and it's bitterly cold, and you forget your jacket at home, and you don't feel like it, and you do it. And then you come down with a cold and a fever, and you think back, and you ask yourself, do I regret that I did the mitzvah? You tell yourself, I regret getting sick. I'm not sure if I regret the mitzvah. Along comes the Gemara and tells us, don't regret the mitzvah. Because if you regret the mitzvah, then not only did you suffer doing the mitzvah, you lose the merits of the mitzvah too. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman's question is, how come when it comes to regretting a mitzvah, we say logic dictates by regretting it, you've uprooted it. And yet by regretting a transgression, we say logic dictates that regret doesn't uproot the transgression. You need Hashem's extra mercy to uproot it. Why? Why the difference? That's the question. V'sha'alti damar ze mikvot kodesh maran bar Chafetz Chaim. He says, I asked the Chafetz Chaim this question. Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, I didn't know. So I went to the Chafetz Chaim, I couldn't figure it out. V'yashiv, and he gave me the following answer. De b'tshuva me'ahava. We know there are two types of tshuva. There's a person who does tshuva out of love for Hashem. Had avonot nasu lo kizchuyot ulifni mishuat adin. So then Hashem says, if you do it out of love, I will overturn the transgressions and turn them into merits. They will be sources of connection to me. They will be merits. Okay, that's not logical. That a person's regret will undo what he's done is one thing. To turn it into something positive, that's Hashem's mercy. That's Hashem's kindness. V'tshuva mi'ira ina b'chlal to'a l'rishonot. And when a person does tshuva, but it's out of awe of Hashem, so then that's not like he has regret, because he's scared of Hashem. You ask him, why are you doing tshuva? He says, I'm scared, I'm going to get zapped. Shareino mitcharet al ha'maaseh atzmo. You ask him, do you regret what you did? Not really. I'm just scared. Ela demitirei me'onesh. He's scared of the punishment. V'ilo haya onesh nimchalo. Let's say Hashem would say, buddy, I'm not going to punish you over this. Would a person regret it? Lo haya mitcharet klal al ha'maaseh. He wouldn't regret it. This is what Chafetz Chaim said. So the Chafetz Chaim said, when we talk about tshuva, there are two types of tshuva. When it's tshuva out of fear, you know, a relative gets ill. So they start thinking, what do I have to do tshuva on? And then they start doing tshuva. That's a very good thing. The Torah says that's how we should behave. If something goes wrong, we have to do introspection, figure out what we did wrong, and rectify our behavior. Great. But you'd ask the person if your relative was better. I remember good friends of mine had a relative who was ill, and they decided that for a certain hour during the day, they wouldn't talk Lashon Hara. So we were once there for a Shabbos meal, and they started saying something, and then someone said, no, during this hour, we're not allowed to say Lashon Hara. We accepted for the merits of this relative, we won't say Lashon Hara. And initially I thought it was humorous, but I said, fine, very nice. Okay, at least that hour they're careful not to say Lashon Hara. And then that relative passed away. And then I was there a different Shabbos for a meal, and someone started saying something. And then someone said, maybe this hour we shouldn't say Lashon Hara. And that person said, no, it's okay now. What do you mean it's okay now? What does that mean? The transgression is still a transgression. What does that mean? It's okay now. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim answered. He said, if I'm doing tshuva out of fear, yeah, they want their relative to live. So what are they really saying? I don't really regret it, but you know what? I'm going to be a good boy. It's like when you're driving and the policeman's behind you. So suddenly you make sure your seatbelt's on, you look at the speedometer, you want to make sure you're running not over the speed limit, you don't dare switch a lane without turning on the blinker, you're a good boy. Are you doing any real tshuva? Maybe, maybe not. The question is, what'll happen 5 minutes after the policeman speeds ahead? So that's what Chafetz Chaim said. That's tshuva. He's not. There's no real regret there. There's fear. So after he quotes that from Chafetz Chaim, he says, according to the Chafetz Chaim, so then what Chafetz Chaim is really saying is that if you regret doing something wrong because you love Hashem, that's real tshuva. So just as a person's regret over a mitzvah, he regrets the action, so then it uproots the action, that's logical. By the same token, regretting a transgression also logically uproots. The problem is that we don't regret it, that it's not real tshuva. But if it is real tshuva, the Chafetz Chaim is saying then it should really uproot the action without chesed. Dehavadai betshuva me'ava hu to'al harishonot. Certainly when a person loves Hashem and because of that he does tshuva, so certainly he looks back and says, I regret ever doing it. Ela d'milshon misilat yishrim lo mashmak. And he says, but you know what? That's a nice pshat. But that doesn't seem to be what the Rav Moshe Chaim Latzato is saying. If you look at his words, doesn't seem to be saying that. What did Misilat Yesharim say? Rav Moshe Chaim Latzato said, your regret does not change your action. You did it, you did it. Regret isn't going to change it. So then he says, I'm back to my question. The Chafetz Chaim's answer is nice, but it doesn't fit into the wording of the Misilat Yesharim. Rav Moshe Chaim Latzato said, you did an action, your care, your regret, your will does not change the facts. You did the action. And if that's the logic, so then how come by regretting a mitzvah, it does uproot the mitzvah? So he says, I quoted to you the Chafetz Chaim's answer, but I don't see that answer as fitting the words of Misilat Yesharim. It's a good answer, but it's not what Rav Moshe Chaim Latzato was saying. So I think, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, לפי מה שכתב בעל מסילת ישרים בעצמו בספרו דרך השם. He says, let's look at a different work of Ramchal. Rav Moshe Chaim Latzato wrote a work called Derech Hashem, and in the fourth chapter there he says like this, כלל המצוות העשין והלאווין, the general rule of mitzvos, proactive or prohibitive, כל אחד מהם מכוון אל תכלית, הקנות באדם והעצים בו אחד ממדרגות המעלה האמיתית. Every mitzvah has a purpose. And if this sounds familiar, does anyone remember where we saw the exact concept before? That a mitzvah causes a person to acquire a trait. It strengthens a trait within a person. Where did we see this concept before? A little different. Every mitzvah affects us. You do a mitzvah, you become a different person. You wait between meat and milk, you become a different person. You don't slaughter a parent animal and the child animal on the same day, you become a different person. Every mitzvah is going to affect the type of human being you are. And a mitzvah also helps us remove the dark parts of our personality. I want to share with you a secret that will help you in all of life. Every person has a part of their personality that's dark. Very often people walk around and they're very scared because they think they're the only ones that have that dark side to their personality. But no, every person has a dark side to their personality. What the Torah helps us do through the mitzvos is strengthen the parts of our personality that are filled with light and good and kindness, and get rid of the parts of our personality that are dark, that are cruel, that are not what we'd like. We look at it and we know it's a part of us. We'd like to deny it. Comes the Torah and gives us mitzvos that helps us change our personality. That's what Ramchal says. And this idea we saw last week in the Rambam Igeret Teiman. The Rambam in Igeret Teiman, we saw last week, the Rambam said, every mitzvah is going to affect your personality. The Rambam said, that's the difference between the Torah and a man-made religion. The Torah is the wisdom of Hashem on how to perfect the human being, how to become the best possible person, how to live life to its fullest. So that's why every mitzvah has tremendous meaning. It affects us in meaningful ways. There's limitless depth to every mitzvah. That was the Rambam. That was Maimonides in the Yemenite Epistle in Igeret Teiman. So it's the same concept that Ramchal is saying here. Al yedei po'al ha-mitzvah tasei ahi, we turn to page chafbet, om niyam ne lo tasei. But either by performing the mitzvah or holding back from the prohibition, it affects a person. Ma'aseh ha-mitzvot, the action of mitzvos, hine tachlit bo la'adam she'asehu. The mitzvahs are there to do them. This isn't a theoretical religion. This is practical. This is the way we lead life. Mevu'al shu lekayem mitzvot boro v'lasot chefzo. I'm here to do the will of my Creator. There are two ways in which we fulfill the will of our Creator. Nimshachim ze mize, and they're intertwined. Firstly, Hashem told me to do it, I'm doing it. What biblical mitzvahs did you guys do today? How many biblical mitzvahs did you all do today? Let's think. You put on tefillin today, great, one biblical mitzvah. You read Shema, morning and evening, another biblical mitzvah. Birkat Hamazon, third biblical mitzvah. What other biblical mitzvahs did you do today? Huh? You didn't murder today. Good for you, Yaakov, excellent. Okay, tzitzit, you wore a four-cornered garment with tzitzit. What other biblical mitzvah did you do today? If you gave tzedakah, okay, sixth biblical mitzvah. What else? Great. Seven. What else?
Good
start. So we did seven biblical mitzvot today. That's it? That's it? Okay. We didn't eat meat and milk together. Okay. You did acts of kindness. Okay, so we're up to nine. You ate kosher. We're up to ten. Okay, think about it. We hope so, right, okay. But, when do we perform a biblical mitzvah? When we're tempted with the capacity to do it, and we withhold, because Hashem told me not to. So, I don't want to extrapolate on that. So, coming back to Ramchal. So, whenever we do a mitzvah, number one, we're doing the will of Hashem. Hashem told us to do this. And secondly, I did a mitzvah, we just said, I became a different person. So it's not only that I did the mitzvah, so I did the will of Hashem. I'm a different person. Remember the question we began with? When I give charity, am I supposed to give charity like a person who doesn't care? Hashem said to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't care. Wait, no, we said every mitzvah has two components. There's one component, you did the will of Hashem. There's the other component, you're supposed to become a different person. The mitzvah is going to affect you. And the mitzvah has a positive outcome on ourselves, on society, on the world. Ripple effect. It's not just me, it's the world that changes. Just a second. So, we accomplish two things with the mitzvah. Shitola data mitzvah hi. That's an outgrowth of the mitzvah, that I become a different person, that the world becomes a different place. V'hine mitkem chefzo itbarach shmo. So the will of Hashem is performed. Hashem really wants us to become better people. We connect to Hashem better if we're better people. Hashem is good. When we become better, we connect. That's the Ramchal. Okay? So we just learned this concept. Every mitzvah has two components. There's the component of do the will of Hashem. There's the component that through doing the mitzvah, we become better people. Okay, Yaakov. That's for the Rambam. That was just a quote from the Rambam. I don't think I can do justice to answering that without taking 15 minutes for that, and we don't have that time now. But Thursday night, no, I don't want to go into that. Thursday night, bring it up. I'll be happy to go back into it. But where did we mention points here? We said that there's doing the will of Hashem, that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah comes from the word tzivui, commandment. That component is very important. Like the story I told last week about the doctor with atheist doctors and their argument about whether you could be moral without God in the picture. And when the chips fall, when you're a God-fearing person, you're going to have to behave, even though you really don't feel like it. Okay, so that's for Thursday night. I'm saying these are discussions we had last week. I don't mind revisiting them, but that's not the topic at hand. In passing, but that's not the topic. So I'm happy to write it down. Let's discuss it Thursday night. So what do we see from here? Bottom line, every mitzvah has two components. You see, there's a benefit. The mitzvah accomplishes something in the world. Now, that's very important. Because sometimes we wonder, what am I doing here? Did I do something by putting on tefillin? So I don't like it. I've been getting emails a few times where the Chinese figured out that there are acupuncture points that you push when you put on tefillin, and it's very beneficial to the human being. I have a very hard time with that. I have no problem with it being beneficial. I'm a moel, and I know the medical benefits, some of the medical benefits of doing a circumcision. Jewish boys don't get cancer usually because they don't get infections usually in the organ because they're circumcised, and many other benefits from a circumcision. That's wonderful. I'm saying they don't get cancer in that organ. Yeah, say there, but who? But am I supposed to figure out that that's why Hashem gave the mitzvah? Who knows? Where, you know, we see certain benefits. That doesn't mean that's the benefit of being circumcised. We don't know what Hashem was thinking. So there is a benefit. We do mitzvah, even though we might not always understand. Don't forget, for thousands of years, I mean, going back 2,000 years ago, the Greeks were telling us, what are you mutilating the body for? They were killing anyone who would circumcise their child. And we didn't have this answer. We didn't know back then that it was healthy to be circumcised. The Greek doctors said it was unhealthy to be circumcised. And we had to contend with modern science of the day telling us how bad it was that we were circumcising the babies. And yet, we say, Hashem gave us a mitzvah, and obviously it's the right way to lead life, and we didn't always have the answers. So that's why I'm saying even now I'm not sure we have the answers. We have an answer. I'm not sure it's the answer. We don't know what Hashem is thinking, but we do know we have the mitzvah, and the mitzvah has a purpose. The mitzvah accomplishes something in this mundane world of ours. Ki l'chol mitzvah yesh tam. Every mitzvah has a reason. Kmo shkatav Rambam, as Nachmanides writes in Parashas Kiseitze, over the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. We have a mitzvah, don't take the babies when the mother's there. Chase away the mother bird, and then you can take the babies. V'zeh shano, Nachmanides over there writes, v'zeh inyan shegazar harav b'mitzvot. What the rabbi, he's calling Maimonides the rabbi. He says, what the rabbi said about all mitzvos, sheyesh lehem tam, that every mitzvah really has a purpose and a reason. Mevoar umo, that's very clear, says Nachmanides. Every mitzvah has a purpose. Ki b'chol achatam v'toelet v'tikun l'adam. Every mitzvah has a reason, and every mitzvah has a benefit, and every mitzvah accomplishes something to the betterment of man. Milvat zcharan, aside from the wages we're still going to get in the world to come. So if you look over there, Nachmanides has a whole essay on this. And here, Rav Elchanan Wasserman gives a knockout punch. He says, once we understand that, then really we should do the mitzvahs even if we have no commandment. If we can appreciate that the mitzvos really accomplish in this world, even without being commanded, so then we can appreciate that a person should really perform all the mitzvos without being commanded. Now we understand. Our sages say that the patriarchs kept the Torah even though they weren't commanded. So as a child, I always wondered, why? Why not eat a cheeseburger? Avraham Avinu. If you're not commanded, then why not? You know, I never ate lobster in my life. Okay. But why didn't Avraham Avinu eat lobster? I don't have a Yetzer Hara for lobster, but it doesn't matter. Maybe that's because I never tasted it. But why didn't Avraham Avinu eat it? Why? Ah, so Rav Elchanan Wasserman just explained it. Every mitzvah affects the world positively. We might not understand it, but they did. And that's why even though they weren't commanded, they didn't transgress. They did understand why it was beneficial. So that's number one. Bet, secondly, once we are commanded, then I have another reason to keep the mitzvos. I'm doing what Hashem said so. And reason number one just isn't enough. Because I have to tell you, before I started being a moel, I couldn't look at a bris. Tell me it's as healthy as you want. I couldn't see it. The poor baby's being cut. The baby's bleeding. The baby's crying. How could you do that? So now you stand there and you tell a parent like me, and you tell them, look, it's good for the child. And I'll say, I'll think about it. You know, it sounds interesting. I see other people living just fine without it. I wouldn't have, you want to explain to me the benefits? So as I grew in my understanding of Torah and my appreciation of Torah, at some point I said to myself, that's wrong of me. I shouldn't look at a mitzvah that way. And I forced myself to look, and then I forced myself to learn, and then I forced myself to perform. That's why I became a moel, because I felt there was something really wrong about me that I looked at a mitzvah, and I had a hard time looking at the mitzvah. I said, okay, so that means my perspective is off, because the Torah is right, not Netan Alfrein and Thul. But that's why the second point is so important. If we just speak about the benefits, that's nice, but then we would forgo it. Comes the Torah and says, yeah, but you got to do it. Hashem said so. It's not only because you benefit, because if it were just for the benefits, then maybe we'd say, okay, I can do without that. We have a commandment from Hashem. And a transgression has the same two concepts. There's a reason we were commanded not to do it. And then, even if Hashem didn't command us, if we really understood, we wouldn't do it. Now that we were warned, so we're also obligated. So far he's been introducing. I would love to finish this piece, but I think we'll finish it Thursday night because it's long and I don't think we should take the rest of class for just this, even though it's important. Unless you guys veto me. How many people want to do this till the end? So you're all with me. Fine. So we'll pick up here Bezachem Thursday. Yes.